I'm going to read from my book, Come Closer, which won the 2022 Library of Poetry Award from Bitter Oleander Press. And Paul Roth, the editor, this reading is for you. I'm going to start this reading off with the bomb. The bomb was supposed to make things better. Instead, my bedroom is riddled with holes, my furniture juggled and jumbled. The bomb couldn't decide what to do with my pillow, which was left intact. The pillow was filled with my imaginary place, a desert devoid of people, but with pink blooms on spiky green stalks that appear after a rain. The bomb found something in the distance and noisily moved on. When it happened, I said, "Wait, I'm not ready." I had a body that served me well once. I understood its particular needs, eating, sleeping, running. I used to grow hard and ready to burst. The bomb snarled, "Now you see my terrifying magic act. Here, then gone." I answered, "I was hoping something different would happen." My absurdity surfaced and departed like smoke. Bits of the world remain now. I consist of edges and corners. I watch the bomb again and again in my memory at different angles, discovering scientific tidbits, a last cloud in the shape of my pillow, or how the horizon grew softer, or how all the objects eventually learned how to stop dancing. Soon the bomb tells me I can start all over again. And most poetry is actually about containment and letting loose. So that was an appropriate piece. The next piece is her cookbook. The recipes include a music souffle and an anti-gravity salad, which is difficult to grab out of the air, a boar tooth sandwich and a shimmering star cake. A glass of rain or evergreen soup go well as sides to accompany a main dish. The cookbook is written by a friend's little girl, an up-and-coming chef. "Open your mouth and close your eyes," the small cook declaims gleefully. I am standing in her yellow kitchen. I do as I'm told and taste warmth. The sun, I guess. I open my eyes and smile at a round, glowing orange dessert with porcupine-inspired rays. "Where do you find the ingredients for the food you make?" "From everything." She is a happy girl. Even though we are inside the house, a fog appears over the child's head, and vegetables and fruit fall onto the floor around us. She begins gathering all the food, and I wonder what she will create with it. I suddenly understand that once you love doing something, you see it everywhere. The next piece is called How to Build Something of Use. Use a hammer, nails, glue, and any other available tools. Get naked and let the dog watch, tilting its head in wonderment. The anticipation of pain creates pain. An unassembled chair might prefer to become a table. Twist the knobs until they can't go any further. Measure everything with humor, since nothing is forever. The diagrams must overrun the inside of your head. Don't listen to friends, neighbors, or family. Explain the long history of scrap metal. Hide a small piece of yourself deeply inside. The next piece is called When Can You Take Me Away? And it's based on a painting that has rabbits and a landscape in it. And it's for the artist. The rabbit falls out of the landscape painting hanging on the wall in my living room. It lands plop at my feet, scurrying away from its smaller, unmoving companion left behind. I am the one who would never leave the forest, tree branches sighing and filling in the rabbit's newly empty space where moths hesitate and roses bloom. I lecture the new creature. Stars are slowly dying, animals are becoming extinct, and a virus is raging. What are you doing here? The rabbit hurries away from me, perhaps defying the laws of gravity. But then I hear it singing in the bathroom with a high, shrill voice. It could be in the shower or curling underneath a toilet or sink. I live alone. First I press my hands over my ears, then I listen and other sounds follow, barking, squeaking, thumping. I sit in a crooked chair and wait to see its glossy white and black fur, its long ears, its dark stony eyes. I don't know its intentions as I chase it. It is muscular and fast. It seems to have much to say, and I'm lonely. I explain, I won't hurt you, whether you are real or not. It doesn't answer me yet. I follow it as it explores my apartment, wondering if it would prefer another shape or another place. Right now, I will learn how to live with it. The next piece is called The Vegetable. I place the strange vegetable, growing extravagantly in my barren backyard, into my refrigerator. It is a hard, round, green ball with spikes and long trailing tentacles for reaching through ground to find more space in my yard. I hurt my back, digging it out from the soil, crisscrossed with its tangling shoots. It is insistent in its subjugation. I notice itinerant, gloriously colored flowers creeping over my fence towards the neighbors as fast as they can leave. I call the vegetable Muggolin, unable to find it listed anywhere. I lick the cold, bright green bulb, its green tubers dangling, after removing it from the refrigerator. It tastes of salt, water, rocks, and ginger. It is exotic. I wonder how it chose and then arrived in my backyard, which previously hadn't allowed anything much to grow there. It is abundant. Since I don't die or sicken, I nibble a spot, my teeth penetrating the thick skin, and arrive at a soft, wet, light green interior that juices briefly down my chin. The taste is fruity, sweet, and good. I wipe the drops away. All day I think about the vegetable. I open the refrigerator to check on it, and it takes up half the space, even with its tendrils curled around itself. I whisper, "Where do you come from, and where do you think you are going?" I laugh, "Muggolin, do you want to take over the world?" But of course it doesn't answer me, although its vines are loosening, hanging over the shelves, and slipping up the back of the refrigerator. I'm wondering what it might taste like in a salad with other vegetables or cooked and sauced, because the raw bite hasn't hurt me, and there is so much of it. I peek out the window and see tiny muggolins beginning to spring up in the ground space I just cleared. I find and search my cookbook for recipes sitting in the living room. Suddenly, there's an odd noise in the kitchen. I go in and see the vegetable inching out from the refrigerator. Something inside me understands its need to escape and grow, its desire for more. I'm not sure what to do. I try to lift my kitchen chopping knife, but it too has grown long invisible roots into the countertop and won't be budged while the vegetable refuses to stop approaching. The next piece is the taxidermist. I was the most flawed person I ever had to live with. My wife said that something had lately come between us, like a child's overflowing water glass. At night, I ached and screamed, flailing phantom limbs. I called across rooftops, and the animals came, bristling their black, white, and brown fur, wind stitching their innocent eyes. I measured paws and wings and claws. I stayed inside. I recorded the essentials, like my sister's baby, growing incrementally. Muscles were migrating clouds, the small necks marvelous at swiveling, skin carefully adjusted. Everything worked. Orange pads pushed me sideways. Useless, sharp, yellow teeth still frightened me into a corner. I sleepwalked during the day. Human voices whimpered. We couldn't have children. They would eat us alive anyway, my wife said. Our bodies grew accustomed to emptiness. Breathe deeply, I wanted to tell her. We'll fill up inside. And my last piece is called, Would I Do Anything for You? I work as a vet assistant at the exotic animal hospital where I've seen lizards licking soda, a snake swallow a fawn, an obscene marmot trill for cookies, a possum that wants to crawl out of its skin, and an axolotl, a Mexican salamander, which is a walking fish with a pink balloon face and blue button eyes. I'm a human skin cake who has stayed out of trouble her whole life. In my mind, I'm often crossing a field, a tourist in the wilderness, instead of clattering metal instruments over a feathered or furry body. It's one paw at a time. I empty myself. Then I fill with animal presence. The human world is all heists and murders, politics and money, and men I've casually loved, cars that heave me somewhere before breaking loose, houses and apartments that rear up, towering over everything that's left. I have been fierce, but I've never seen anything like the bull-headed man who came to the clinic because he had broken his tail. He was taciturn, kind, not clingy, a fabulous listener that no woman could resist. I patched him. He healed. In my bed, a hoof grazes my cheek, and my hand caresses a slightly curved horn. I'm dreaming, aren't I? I'm in a maze called the labyrinth, searching for my newly beloved. There's nothing behind me, everyone I want ahead. I'm trying to remember how to use my hands. Passages veer left, then right, right, and then backwards. Flies are urging me onward. The walls flinch when I touch them, but not enough to see over them. Stars are above me, but they are unnavigable. The city falls behind. I turn, expecting desire at the end, Instead, a new kind of animal rises up inside of me. But it's just me with my new cow face, my splotched hide, my impatient little ears. Thank you.